Good morning. Bob isn't here this morning. I'm flying solo. So we'd like to ask if you're sitting near the end of the pew, if you would just take our friendship register and sign it, pass it down, that we might have a record of your attendance today. We have several announcements. If you look on the back of your bulletin, things to call attention to. This coming Friday night, we're going to be having our October movie night. And the movie this month is Faith Like Potatoes. It's a strange name, but let me tell you something. It is a terrific movie, and I know that you'll love it if you come to see it. If you do, make sure, ladies, if you would bring Kleenex, because you're going to need them. And men, you could bring them too if you might need them. But anyway, it is a great, very inspiring movie, Faith Like Potatoes. That's this coming Friday evening, October 29th at 7 p.m. here at the church. Also, just to remind everybody that we're going to be having our election for new officers. This is going to be on Sunday, December the 5th. So please mark that down on your calendars. And then also, Annie and I would just like to thank all of our members here, all of our friends here at Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church for your cards and for gifts for celebrating Pastor Appreciation. And we love each one of you and are very grateful and thankful that we're here with you. So let me ask, do we have any other announcements? I believe we have a few.
As I mentioned last week, it is time for Operation Christmas Child, the Shoebox Ministry. I have some papers that I ran off that kind of give you an instruction. Also has labels. There's some in the back here, and there's also some at the back door. Also, too, another thing is they sent me a catalog. It's a Christmas catalog. And if you would like to give something to someone, you know, you can make a donation to this. There are all kinds of things that you can purchase for different areas of the world. Some of them, they need chickens. You can purchase so many chickens or a cow or goats or anything.
You have to take delivery?
What?
Do you have to take delivery?
No, they deliver it for you.
Oh.
Yes, they will deliver it for you. But some of these groups of people are in such a poor situation that they don't have availability to purchase these things to help sustain them. And so I have the catalog, and it tells you exactly how much it costs to purchase this. And you can also do it in honor of somebody in your family or a friend or somebody that you would like to honor at Christmas time. It makes a good present. So if you were interested in it, see me. I only have one catalog, but I can let you know. You may be able to go online, too, and look it up as well. But that's just they send it out. So I thought that was very good. So thank you.
Wonderful. Well, the season is progressing, so Operation Christmas Child. If you have your bulletins, please look at the unison reading, and let's repeat this together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Thank you. Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing together the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. And it is, Lord, I lift your name on high.
As we pray. Our gracious Lord and almighty Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here in this place today. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come, and Lord, that you would touch each one of our hearts, that you would help us as we lift up your name and praise you. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 161. Love divine, all loves excelling.
Thank you.
We've been going through the shorter catechism on Sunday mornings, and this morning we're going to be looking at questions 67, 68, rather 70, 71, 72. So let's repeat these together. I'll ask the question. Please give the answer. Which is the seventh commandment?
The seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery.
And what is required in the seventh commandment?
The seventh commandment requires preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior.
And what is forbidden in the seventh commandment?
The seventh commandment forbids all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions.
Amen. We have the opportunity at this time to give back to the Lord some of what he's given to us. And I'm going to read this scripture reference. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The ushers will now come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Please bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all that you give us. And Lord, we pray that that which we've given back might be used and multiplied to bless and to encourage others in the faith. We thank you for this time and pray you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We have the great opportunity as we meet together this morning, as in every Sunday morning, to lift up the needs of our congregation, of our loved ones, of our nation, of God's kingdom. So at this time, let's bow as we come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, it's in recognition that you are truly the sovereign God, that you're the creator of all the universe. And Lord, as David once said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We wonder, Lord, why would you care about our lives and our little world? And yet you do. So Father, by faith now, we come to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and bring these requests and these needs before your throne. Our Father, we do pray for our church, for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. We pray for our members. And Lord, we remember this morning those who cannot be with us today because of physical problems or physical illness. And Lord, we ask that your hand might reach out and touch them. We pray, Lord, for Tom and Catherine Gibson. We ask you, Lord, to touch them physically and to heal them from these problems that they face day by day. Lord, we also pray for Bob Penland this morning. Ask you, Lord, to touch him physically and to heal him. Lord, we pray for those others that we know are struggling physically today. And Lord, we ask that as our great physician, as our healer, that you would come and that you would help us with these physical problems that many of us face each day. Our Father, we also pray for those who are struggling this morning with fear and with anxiety, with worry. And Lord, we ask for the freedom to cast these anxieties onto you, knowing that you care for us. Lord, fears of provision, fears of not having enough, Lord, we pray that your hand would reach out and comfort us in these areas, knowing that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Our Father, we do pray for our nation, for the United States of America. Lord, we recognize painfully that we're a nation divided. So, Father, we ask and pray that in all of this, that your name might be lifted up. That, Father, you've called us together as a country for your own purpose. And, Lord, we ask and pray that you would continue to use this great nation to your glory and to your honor. And those who seek to destroy it would be left behind. My Father, again, we thank you so much for your watch care over us. We thank you that it's by your loving hand that we even exist. So, Lord, we pray that through this day, as we worship you, that as we lift you up, that you would be lifted up in our hearts, that we might know the joy of your presence. For we ask and pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 146. This is a John Newton hymn. We sang a Charles Wesley hymn earlier. Great old hymns of the faith. Please stand and we'll sing this together. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds.
Thank you.
That is such a beautiful hymn. Unbelievable. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. It's found in the book of Colossians. This is Colossians chapter 3. And I'm reading verses 12 to 17. This is Colossians 3, reading verses 12 to 17. And hear now the word of God. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, I didn't get a chance to mention this, or I didn't mention it during our announcement times, but on Wednesday evenings, we've begun studying the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is a phenomenal book. We've just begun, only 2 weeks in. So if you've not started coming on Wednesday night, it's just a great opportunity. And there are so many issues that are dealt with in the book of Ephesians that I believe are very relevant for where we are right now in our culture, in our society. One of the issues that Paul talks about in Ephesians is the whole issue of adoption. We talked about that this last week, and how important it is for us to know that we have been adopted into God's family, that we're part of his family. You know, adoption is a very tricky issue. I know a couple that were part of my church back years ago who decided that they were going to adopt a child from Russia. And so they traveled all the way to Russia, and they went through all the expense and everything that they had to do to adopt this little boy from Russia. They brought him home, and he'd been home for about a month and a half, and they received notification from the Russian government that their adoption was not complete and that they were going to have to return this child to Russia. What a terrible thing to have to go through when you believe that this is your child, and yet you have to give that child back. I've had several experiences with people in congregations who have adopted. Some have been positive, some not so positive. One young couple who could not have children, and they longed to have a baby. And so they went through an organization, a Christian organization, to adopt this little baby. And when they were notified that there was a possibility, they began praying on their hands and knees for this little child, this little baby, and covered that baby with prayer. They loved it before they had even seen it. It was their baby, even though it hadn't even been born yet. Another couple that I knew, that where the mother had lost several babies through miscarriage and longed to have children, longed to have a baby. And they found out that there was the possibility, and so they went through all the right channels and whatever, and about a month before the baby was supposed to be born, they found out that instead of one, it was going to be two. And they were asked, do you want to adopt both of them? And they said, yes, we want to adopt both babies. And so they adopted two little boys. 9 months later, she had her own little girl. You know, all these parents seeking adoption all had one thing in common, and that is they were given the right to choose. They had the opportunity to choose. I remember hearing this pastor speak about a little girl in his congregation. She was in her early teens, and she went to him, and she was upset because she had found out that she was adopted. And the pastor said, "Don't you realize how special you are? Don't you realize that you were chosen? You're very special." You know, Paul gives us a very similar counterpart in Scripture. He gives us three different points to show that we are special to God. First of all, that spiritual adoption is a part of God's eternal plan to adopt into His family. The second is that spiritual adoption is for God's glory. And the third, because we're adopted, we're all part of one family. We're all part of God's family. So I want to look at those things this morning. This whole issue of adoption has really been on my heart lately. That spiritual adoption is a part of God's plan. You see, God fulfills the role of the adopting parent. In my experience, those parents that want to adopt, it's because they have this great love in there for a child, to have a child that they can raise, that they can smother with kindness and love. God is that adopting parent. He's the one that was motivated by a great love for us, that He would even seek to adopt. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, part of what we read just 2 weeks ago in our Wednesday Bible study, is that God chose us before the foundations of the world. That it was God's desire for a people to have those that He would call His own before the foundations of the world, before the world was even created. God not only knew that He would adopt, He knew who He would adopt. That's part of His sovereignty. He is the adopting parent. And you know, that choice, God's choice, wasn't based on anything outside of Himself. It wasn't based on anything that we would ever do. It was only based on His own perfect will, what God wanted, what God desired. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Behold, how great a love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are." This great love. You know, we talk from time to time about the covenant that God made with man. And the covenant basically says this, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." It's strictly motivated by God's love for us. You know, one of the beautiful things about God's choosing us is that He didn't wait until we were perfect in His eyes. He didn't wait until we did everything that was right. Instead, as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, while we were yet at enmity, while we were still God's enemies, God chose us to be His own before the foundations of the world. How great the love of God. All of this was motivated by His love for us. As a result, God adopting us, making us His own, His adoption is inviolable. See, this was one of the laws that Paul knew about when he wrote about this in Ephesians and this passage that we read here in Colossians. And that is that part of the regulations for adoption in the Roman Empire was that once you adopted a child, you could never give it back again. You could never turn it away. It was always yours, forever. Now, unfortunately, that hasn't carried through, especially into our society. And there are times when adoption just, it doesn't mesh. It just doesn't work. I remember another couple in our church. They had two young girls, both about the age of 7 or 8 years old. And there was a situation in the community where this little girl was going to be put up for adoption. And they talked it over, and they decided that they would adopt this little girl as their third daughter. And they came to me and I said, you know, we really need to pray about this because you have two young daughters and you already have your home, your situation, and you need to pray that this is really what God wants you to do. I would share that with anyone. And so they did pray about it and they said, yes, we believe that this is God's will. So they adopted this little girl, brought her into the family, treated her like their own daughter. But unfortunately, this little girl, because of what she had been through, had some severe emotional problems. And after about 6 months, they came to me again and they said, you know, we don't think we can continue because it's destroying our family. It's destroying our home. We don't know what we can do here. And so they had to go through a process then to give this child back. And how painful that is. You know, and I've often thought, what if God had that option? What if God saw what we were doing in life, the decisions that we'd made, the heartache that we had caused, and he said, you know what, I'm going to unadopt you. I'm just going to give you back. God says, you know, I'll never do that. When I've chosen you as my own, when I have adopted you into my family, it's forever. And that's why he could say, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What God was saying was, once you're mine, you're mine. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You see, that should give us a lot of peace in our lives. God saw us at our worst possible moment. In that moment when we were shaking our fist at him, when our hearts were turned against him, where we were following the world and doing everything we could against his kingdom. And he loved us with all his heart. See, we can never go below that. We can never be worse than what we were at our worst moment. And God loved us then. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So this spiritual adoption is for God's glory. God desired a people for himself. God wanted a nation. He wanted a kingdom. He wanted people that would come to him and glorify him and rejoice in him as their heavenly Father. That's why he says, I will be your God and you'll be my people. Can't you feel the love in that? I want you for my own. I know the adult Sunday school class has gone through the minor prophets, looking at the different minor prophets. And a prevailing theme through the minor prophets is God saying, because you've done this, I will do this and I will do that to you. But he always adds the trailer. But if you'll only turn to me, if you'll only come back to me, if you'll only repent for what you've done, then I'll show you my love. I'll show you my heart and draw you to myself. God does all this, chooses us as his own. As Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for the purpose of his will. It's because that's what he desires. He wants us to be his own. He wants us to be part of his family. You know, no one knows the mind of God in this. I know we can come up with all kinds of theories or strategies for why in the world would God choose anyone? He doesn't need us. Why would he do it? No one knows the mind of God in that. And no one knows why he chooses according to his will. But I mentioned this in our Bible study, and it always, to me, it's always a great example. Do you remember back in the 1950s, there was a TV show called The Millionaire? Anybody remember The Millionaire? Well, The Millionaire dealt with this individual by the name of Michael Anthony. And I remember he always had a black suit and a skinny tie. And Michael Anthony was the executive secretary I've written all this down. The executive secretary to John Beresford Tipton, who was a billionaire. Now, back in the 1950s, nobody even knew what a billionaire was. Now we're looking at a trillionaire, possibly. A billionaire. He had all this money. He decided that he would choose somebody each week and give them a check for $1 million tax-free. Now, I looked this up, and that $1 million in today's dollars is $9.66 million. That's like winning the lottery. So $9.66 a check, tax-free, for that money. And he did that so that he could watch how it would change their lives, and that's what the television show was all about. So this Michael Anthony would go up, knock on the door, and explain who he was and hand people this check for $1 million, tax-free. Of course, everybody thought, all right, what's the catch? This has got something wrong here. This doesn't just happen. But it did happen. And I've often thought, what about if they shared it with the next-door neighbor, and the next-door neighbor came over and said, wait a minute, that's not fair. How come he gave you $1 million? He didn't give me anything. You see, it was up to this billionaire to make that choice. He could give his money to whoever he wanted to. In the same way, God, according to the purpose of his will, chooses those that he wants to be in his family. And they belong to him. From before the foundations of the world, they belong to him. So, and the thing of it is, God is willing to do whatever is necessary to make that happen. He's willing to pay the price. You know, even today, adoptions are not cheap. In fact, the adoptions today, the average adoption costs around $40,000. If you want to adopt a child, all the legal fees and everything that you're going to have to go through, it's going to run to about $40,000, and that's if you don't have to travel overseas. If you have to travel around, it costs a lot more. But just the adoption procedure itself costs $40,000. How much did God have to pay? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. God was willing to pay the price for our adoption, and that price was the blood of Jesus our Lord. We talked about the fact that the word that's used in Hebrew is ratzach, and ratzach means the violent shedding of blood. In Isaiah chapter 53, when it says that God was pleased to crush his only son, that word is ratzach. And it means that was the cost, and yet God was willing to pay it so that we could be part of his family. And you know, because we're adopted, it means that we're all part of God's family. And to me, this is where the rubber meets the road today. God has purchased us with a price. He's paid the price so that we can be part of his family, that we could be one with him. But it's not a selfish thing. Because we're adopted, we're all one family. And this is what it says in the passage that we read this morning. It says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. See, we're coming into a time right now when we will realize and recognize that we can't do it on our own. We've all enjoyed a certain amount of independence because of our financial situations, because of our living situations or circumstances, that we could pretty much do as we please. And if we can help one another, that's great. But look at what's happening in other countries and other nations and realize that that same problem can be here, where people have not had enough food. They have not had means of transportation. They have not been able to do anything in their lives, and they are suffering. Many of these are God's people. They're God's children. I read a book some years ago called A Distant Grief, and it had to do with the church in Uganda under the tyrant Idi Amin. And Idi Amin developed a great hatred for God's people, and he persecuted the church relentlessly. And as a result, the Christians in Uganda had to find ways to come together, to survive, to be able to survive. There was a little church on a university campus that started out with about 70 people, most of them college professors. And as they worshiped the Lord on Sunday mornings and during the week, it began to grow. And it grew and it grew until finally they were over 14,000 people meeting regularly. And the reason that they grew was because of the love that people had for one another, the fact that they were willing to lay themselves down for the benefit of others because they were part of the family of God. It's a fascinating book. We don't know what is coming. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know this. Things will never be the way they used to be. Things have changed forever. And now we, as the body of Christ, have to change with it. We have to change forever and become the family that God has called on us to be. He has adopted us. He's the head of the family. And he alone has the right to say, "This is what I want you to do. Put on then," does that sound like a suggestion? "Put on then as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. It's not about us. It's about the body of Christ. It's about being the people that God has called us to be, the people that God has purchased with his blood, that we might be part of his family. We've been adopted. We bear his last name. And what makes it all possible, really? You know, it sounds like a great suggestion. But when it all boils down to it, this is what it means. In verse 13, he says, "Bearing one another with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive." And then he says this, "And above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." You know, it's that agape love that we've spoken about before. And people will know that you're Christians by your love. This selfless, "I care more about you than I do about myself" kind of love. You see, what else is going to take us through these dark times when there's not enough food? And I know you could say, "Well, hopefully this will never happen." And I agree. Hopefully it never will. But we know that there's a crisis in our supply chain for food. We know that possibly in a month or two, we're going to start seeing empty shelves like we've never seen before. And what'll happen then? Do you remember what happened back a couple of years ago when there was a gas shortage and people were lining up at gas stations and there were fights breaking out? Annie and I were at a Walmart, and they had a police car there, or truck, and it had this elevated platform that went up about 20 feet in the air, and there was a policeman standing up there with a machine gun. That was for gasoline. Think about when there's no food. What's going to happen then? Well, you know what? God has called us together as a family. And I doubt that there's a person here that if they saw your son or your daughter or your grandchild in great need, that you wouldn't do whatever you could do to try to relieve that need for them. You see, that's love. And that's what he's calling us to do now as his people. He's calling on us to love one another. He's calling on us to sacrifice for one another, to give for one another. I honestly believe that this is the only way that we will survive what's coming. And that is that if we start acting like a family, giving of ourselves, surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't give to people outside the church? That we shouldn't give to people who aren't Christians? Of course we should. But the Bible tells us that we first are concerned with the family of believers. This is our family. These are the ones that God has called on us to help, to sacrifice for. It's necessary for us as believers. You know, we can see right now our society is collapsing. I am not overstating this. This is what's taking place right now. Our society's collapsing under tyranny. It's collapsing under rampant greed, like we've never, ever seen or even believed would be possible. And there's only going to be one way out of all this, and that's by placing our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our shepherd and leaning on him. Our dependence on Jesus as our shepherd and as our only Messiah. Our help will not come from men. It will not come from a political party. It will only come through our obedience and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe at the same time that there's a way through all this. I believe that as believers, we're going to see God's hand at work. I don't believe this is the end of the United States of America. I think that we will come through this stronger than we have ever been before, because I don't believe that God is finished with this country yet. You say, well, what do you base that on? I base that on history, on the way God has worked in our nation from the very beginning, from its inception, and because of what's happening around the world. I believe that God will raise America back up again. But it will not be easy. There will be many dark days ahead. And we have to be ready for those dark days. As part of God's family, as one who's been adopted into his family, who's been given his last name, I believe I have a responsibility to help where I can, especially to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe that God has given you, as believers, the same responsibility. He's commanded us to follow him. He will see us through. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. This is how we get through. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you have not placed us here in the middle of darkness without a light, that you've given us the light of your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us as one who will help us and carry us through. Lord, we pray that we would place our faith and our trust in a living God and in a Savior who is Jesus, our Lord. Father, help us now, encourage us, strengthen us as your people. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 86. Number 86, we'll sing the first two verses here and then the third verse for our benediction response. Please stand and let's sing these first two verses together. Great is thy faithfulness. Mm-hmm.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.